the Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn number 706. Gracious God, thy children keep, Jesus, guide thy silly sheep. Fix, oh fix our fickle souls, Lord, direct us, we are fools. 706.
the Lord help us to read two portions. Firstly, the Acts of the Apostles, part of chapter 17. The Acts chapter 17, commencing to read at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." We turn now to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, grant us the grace of reverence and godly fear, living faith, the leading of thy Spirit, that we may now be found coming to thee. In and through the person of thy dear Son, all may it be tonight, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. O Lord, do make thyself precious to us this evening. O deliver us, we pray, from all the hindrances within. We thank thee, Lord, for the relative peace and quiet in which we meet, that thou hast provided this place and thy word around which we meet. Solemnize each of our hearts. May our behaviour be becoming the place. Oh, we pray for that grace to tremble at thy word, to revere thee. And yet, Lord, that grace to look up. And oh, we pray that thou wouldst grant us a look down. Look thou upon me and be merciful to me as thou usest to do, to those that love thy name. Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me like a little child. Oh, assure us, Lord, that we are thy child. And grant us a childlike spirit in faith, in love, in submission, in fear, not a slavish fear, but a filial fear, a childlike fear. Lord, help us. Oh, forgive our sins. Sins against our holy God. Sins against thy name and cause. Sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Oh, would it please thee, Lord? Oh, we beg it may please thee to lead us by faith to Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. O Lord, that we may have our hearts softened, we might know our sins forgiven. That we may worship an incarnate God and know he saved us by his precious blood. O Lord, it is only thou canst give us these things. Oh, we thank thee that thou canst, that thou hast these things to give, but that thou hast promised to give them to those that ask. Oh, help us to ask. The asking is of thee, Lord. Oh, it is heart work, not lip work. Oh, we pray for it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Lord, bless this people. Do good unto thine own. Quicken any of thine who are dead. Bless the living. Lord, do mercifully address the cases of thy people. Help them now, and nourish those that have come, seeking to lay their cases before thee. Lord, help them to do so now as we bow in prayer. Lord, that thou wouldst speak the word only. Thou wouldst suit thy word to each one's case. Lord, that thou wouldst apply thy word to each one's heart. Thou knowest what we need, Lord. Oh, make us as a little child in this respect, not thinking we know what we need, but believing by a God-given faith that the Father knoweth the need of his children. And Lord, thou knowest that our need is of thy Son. Oh, we pray then, do give thy dear Son to us. Oh, if any of us know him at all, it is all of thy free gift. But Lord, we know thee so little. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant us that desire to know thee more. And lead us in that path wherein we shall know more of thee. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Do bless this people here with thy Spirit. Bless them with a living ministry. The sending of thine own servants, and thy help to them, and the blessing of the reading of the sermons of thy servants. We pray for each church of thine represented here, and indeed all thy church throughout the earth. Bless thy sent servants. Help them. Be with them. Lord, favour them, Lord, tonight. Those that have turned in with us, favour them, Lord. Lord, grant, we pray, that thou wouldst fill their seed basket. And grant, Lord, that the sowing of the seed may be blessed of thee. Lord, thou hast spoken in thy word of a part of that sowing falling in good ground and bringing forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And we pray for this. The signs following the preaching of the word, the salvation of sinners, the establishment, strengthening, and settling of thy people. Oh, do make thy church a fruitful church, a living union with the living vine. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant the clear work of thy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, that there might be that living witness in our lives that thou art God and that thou art our God. Turn us from evil, deliver us from evil, lead us in the paths of righteousness. Make us in a little measure resemble thee, Lord. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Lord, we come so far, far short. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst not leave us to come short. We do in ourselves, but Lord, if we have thee, we should not come short. Oh, we pray then May there be those tokens given us. May there be that evidence. Thou art ours and we are thine. We again pray for the young, that thou wouldst be the guide of their youth. Graciously help them and direct them. And speak to them, Lord, are able to speak to the very youngest. Oh, how that it speak to young Samuel. And Lord, because it was thy word, that is, let none of his words fall to the ground. Lord, we pray for help for the young. Teach them thyself, Lord. There are many snares in this day. The technology of the age. Oh, what a tool for Satan. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant that deliverance, that keeping. And Lord, thou hast warned us of these last days. The men shall have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Oh, save us each from the form. Grant us the power, thy power. Put it forth, we beseech thee in mercy. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst make a right and honourable way for the young and help them to go in that way, in dependence on thee, looking to thee. Lord, with thee there is nothing impossible. Some of us have proved it, and we need to prove it again this evening. And in many, many things in our lives. Lord, we pray for faith to trust thee. Bless our young people with it. We pray thou bring together those whom thou hast appointed to be husband and wife. And thou hast keep them together when they are joined together in matrimony. We pray, Lord, that thou hast help parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to help us as parents to pray for our children. Lord, oh, help us to pray without ceasing. Prayer, a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. We seek for the afflicted thy help in their afflictions, patience, submission. And if it is thy will, that healing and restoration. We pray for the aged who are drawing near their end. Lord, bless them indeed with that good hope through grace. Reveal thy Son to them. Thou shalt see the King in his beauty. Lord, look upon those who feel the marble cottage shake and cannot say they long to see it fall, but can say, Lord, if thou didst bless me, I should long to see it fall. Oh, we pray, Lord, bless those who through fear of death are in bondage. Bless them, Lord. The assurance that Christ died for them and rose again and liveth and hath the keys of hell and death and hath gone to prepare a place for them and will come again and receive them unto himself. Lord, we pray for Zion. Let thy judgments help us. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, thy voice in the rod, the judgments that are upon us, the withholding of thy Spirit, the enemies that rise up, the departures, Lord, the lack of power in the pulpit, so few conversions, so little joy and peace in believing, so much bondage, darkness. Lord, conquer that which separates us, our sins. Thine ear is not heavy, thine arm is not shortened. Lord, break down the separating wall, forgive our sins. Grant true repentance. Pour out thy Spirit upon thy servants. Mighty let thy gospel be. Set the burdened sinner free. We thank thee for thy gospel. We thank thee for thy word. For the throne of thy grace, thy dear Son, for thy Spirit, for thy everlasting covenant, in remembrance of everything thou hast done for any of us, and for thy mercies lengthened out to this very moment. Forgive all we ask wrongly. Lord, supply our need in speaking and hearing. Oh, may thy name be magnified. Do glorify thy name in the salvation of sinners. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. 949.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. The Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Paul, being endued with the Holy Spirit, and having wrought in his soul by the Holy Spirit some knowledge of the one true and living God, was so grieved when he saw this altar at Athens with this inscription upon it, "To the unknown God." And he, by the Spirit, was graciously enabled to preach that God whom those Athenians knew not. And now in these verses I've named as a text, he speaks of God's forbearance, his long-suffering. We read in one place, he's not willing that any should perish. Of course, that means any of his, but that all should come to repentance. The Apostle Peter speaks of his long suffering in the days of Noah, when the ark was a preparing. And he admonishes, he exhorts the people then to account the long suffering of God, salvation. That is, and every one of the Lord's people will be caused to account the long suffering of God as salvation, as they are made to realize how justly, according to his law, with respect to their behaviour and with respect to their ignorance, he might have cut them off. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Determined to save, he watched all my path, while Satan's blind slave, he sported with death." I believe this is what the apostle means when he says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." He doesn't mean that God winks at the ignorance with a sort of acquiescence. No. The sovereignty of God, determined to save, he watched all my path while Satan's blind slave, I sported with death. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The now speaks of the gospel dispensation, the New Testament dispensation under which we are now found. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The Apostle Paul warns, doesn't he, brethren, the time is short. These are the last times. I mentioned this afternoon the prophecy of Daniel concerning the death of Messiah and the purpose of it. And the end of that prophecy said to seal up the vision and the prophecy. There is nothing more to be revealed. God, in the revealing of his Son, in sending him unto this earth, and the outpouring of his Spirit in those days following his ascension into heaven, the will of God is revealed. Now, of course, so it was to the elect in Old Testament times. Christ said of Abraham, he saw my day, he saw it and was glad. Oh, I mentioned also this afternoon his words the Lord gave him in the expression of the faith he was given. God shall provide himself a lamb. The Lord stayed his hand when it was lifted up. Lay not thine hand on the lad. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and he offered him up in the place of his son. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Lord never leaves any of his people to go on in ignorance. How may a person truly repent? What is repentance? A man, a woman, a boy or a girl can only repent as they are given the grace which flows from Jesus Christ. All repentance, all true repentance to eternal life is inseparably joined with faith in Jesus Christ. And what is it to repent? It is to be convinced of the evil of our own way. Isaiah in chapter 53 says this: we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Repentance is a loathing of our own way and a turning from our own way. It is a complete turn round. Turn, O backsliding daughter, I am married unto thee. But where shall a sinner turn? If we turn in any other direction other than Christ would, there's no repentance. We may turn from one path of sin to another. We may turn from profanity to religiousness. We may turn from one man's religion to another man's religion. But God turns sinners to himself. A But there is only one way in which sinners may turn to God. Jesus said, John 14, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The commission the Lord gave to the apostles was this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the command. If a gospel preacher leaves out repentance, he doesn't preach the gospel. The hymn writer puts it like this: if penitence be quite left out, religion is but halt, and hope, though e'er so clear of doubt, like offerings without soul. You cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and not repent. God always gives repentance and faith with love. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. When the apostle preached here on Mars Hill, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They're not mocking now. They're not mocking now. Either they have had their hearts changed and they no longer mock, but they rejoice in the truth. Or they've been summoned before Almighty God and there's no mocking then. He whose eyes are as a flame of fire, he from whose mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, there's no mocking before him. But others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." You know, one of the griefs, pastors and ministers suffer, seems so often in the day in which we live, that so few come in from outside into our congregations. And for the most part, the ones that come in, they only come in once. They never say, "We will hear thee again of this matter." What does it prove? They've mocked the truth that has been preached. We mustn't change the truth. We cannot change the truth. What I mean is, we mustn't change our ministry so that the people come in and stay in. No, my dear friend, the blood of souls stains deep. Ezekiel 3, the word of God to the watchman. It's burnt into my soul in the exercise concerning going to preach. And the Lord still reminds me of it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To each of his people he accompanies this command with power. It becomes a command in a fuller way. Psalm speaks of Christ like this: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That is, that under the preaching of the word, the sinner is convicted of sin. The sinner is convicted of their need of repentance. The Spirit works that in their heart, whereby there is a heartfelt acknowledgement. The hymn writer says, to see sin smarts but slightly. And the Lord says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn again unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you. All this repentance, there is in it an outward repentance. But it begins in the heart, because that is where the trouble lies. Oh, what a blessing is that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that goes deeper than the eyes, goes deeper than the hands, goes deeper than the tongue, goes deeper than the feet. It reaches the source of the trouble, man's heart. Oh, what a solemn thing it is if our heart is not changed. What a solemn thing it is if our heart, the seat of affections, is never changed. Repentance is a heart work. Oh, if the Lord bless you with this power by which you're given repentance. Oh, your heart's affections under the giving of that grace are not after sin. Real repentance doesn't just cause a sinner to say this, I will not do that because if I do that I'm in danger of hell. It causes him to say, Lord, keep me from doing that because it grieves thee. And now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. The appointment of God of a judgment day. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. God has appointed a day. We make appointments subject to the Lord's will, but the Lord's appointments are always kept. Ours are often not kept. Something happens to prevent. But there will be nothing that could possibly happen to prevent this appointment. Everyone will keep this appointment. None of us know when it will be. We are very foolish if we think we've got a certain number of days, months, years before this appointment. It is hidden from us, but it is fixed in the mind of Almighty God. He hath appointed a day. You see, I spoke this afternoon of those things that the Lord reveals to his people. They don't appear. They don't appear. Though there are evidences, the Word of God speaks of the evidences in creation. And of course, the signs of the times that the Word of God speaks of. But how often it does not appear. Why? There is no appearance of this to the natural eye. There is no appearance of it. The Word of God speaks of those scoffers who say, where is the promise of the fathers? For from their days until now, the world continues. This Word of God is the faithful witness. By faith we understand the worlds were foremade by the Word of God. And it is by that God-given faith, as the Lord proclaims His Word through His servants and by the written Word, direct by His Spirit into men's hearts, the prophecy of this day. He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Every man, woman and child in righteousness. Pure, holy righteousness. The righteousness of God. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Judging the world in righteousness. Oh, what is one of the things that the Lord calls His people to repentance from? The error, the deceit, that they are right in themselves. The Word of God declares there is no difference. Sinner, this evening, except for the grace of this man in our text, by the love of God and by the communion of the Holy Spirit, there is no difference between us here than those outside. No difference at all. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is it righteousness merely to have attended chapel all our life? Is it righteousness to have the doctrines of righteousness in our head? No. Is it righteousness to live an outwardly moral life? No. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, which was a very outwardly moral life. Ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. In righteousness. Oh, is it righteousness to rise up with an indignation against those who propagate error, false religion, only if it be that contending earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. No mere outward Protestant will be accepted by God because he has spent all his life contending against the apostate church of Rome or any other apostate church. That's not righteousness. What is it? Well, it is the righteousness of the law fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Till all be fulfilled, not one jot or tittle shall fail from the law. He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. By that man whom he hath ordained. Jesus, God's Son, in our nature, without sin, the man. This is the ground of God's judgment. Jesus is judge of quick and dead, and there is none beside him. Nicodemus went to Jesus by night. He was ashamed to go to him by day, but oh, the Lord is very merciful. We have proof in the scripture that the Lord's teaching to Nicodemus was effectual teaching. But one of the things he said was this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. This is the righteousness with which the world is judged. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Who is this person then that is believed on? Who is this man? The seed of the woman, God's eternal and co-equal Son, who in the fullness of time, God's time, was made man, made of a woman, made under the law. A real man must be. Otherwise, the law cannot be fulfilled. Because the law can only be fulfilled by one who is under it. When the Son of God was made flesh, made of a woman, he was made under the law, bound by covenant to fulfill that law for all those whom his Father gave him. The bride the Father gave him. Oh, the stoop of the Son of God. The infinite takes a finite nature. He who is pure, spotless, holy, undefiled, is made sin for his people who knew no sin. For his people, in obedience to his Father's commandment, he obeyed the law. in every jot and tittle. Paul said, didn't he, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Christ was not carnal. Made in all things like unto his brethren, sin accepted, without sin. The other difference, of course, between him and those for whom he came to suffer, bleed and die. He took a human nature. He's not a human person. He became what he was not before, a man. He never ceased to be what he eternally was, the Son of God. All that power of the Godhead is veiled, but very present in the man Christ Jesus. When those human lips of Jesus spoke, it was God that was speaking. When those hands, those human hands of Jesus, touched people and cleansed them, it was the hand of Almighty God. And those same human hands and feet that were nailed to the cross at Calvary, Joseph Hart says, 'twas our Creator for us bled, God blessed forevermore. That blood which ran down from his wounds, the same blood as the children, but because it is taken into union with his Godhead, that blood has all the power of Godhead in it. Divine power. Why, what less than that almighty invincible power could put away one sin? But his puts away a number that no man can number. And that righteousness which he wrought out in all his finished work, how infinite that righteousness is. Oh, the way I try to speak of this often is like this. When the Lord convinces us of sin, can we measure our sinfulness? No, there is no measure to it. When we are made by God to feel wrong, can we say, Lord, I'm this much wrong? No. Lord, my wrongness is unfathomable. And the child of God is discovering all their days more and more of the depths of their wrongness. It's turn again, Son of Man, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Oh, then how suitable, how blessedly necessary is that infinite righteousness which justifies from an immeasurable unrighteousness. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Father hath ordained. He says in Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. And you know, whenever the Lord saves one of his people by his Son, he always conveys this truth. A And it is very precious. Jesus said, the Father himself loveth you. And Jesus came not to declare his own words, but the words of his Father. Twice the Father spoke from heaven with an audible voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. O sinner, did you ever hear of the Father? Did you ever hear the Father saying in effect to your soul, poor sinner, you may prevail with me through my Son, and only there? Again, Joseph Hart puts it into verse, doesn't he? O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Worship God, then. You say, what is it to worship? My dear friend, it is to venture your all upon him. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. That's worship. What was it? What was it she saw? She saw that God had ordained his Son. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Mighty to save. Oh, I've required of him the obedience to my law. And I've required of him the atonement. I've required of him to suffer. Isaac is spared. Christ is not spared. Ordained. Ordained to be judge of quick and dead. You see, and this is the one unto whom the sinner is called by God to repentance. The Apostle Paul knew it from experience. Blessed soul here this evening that knows it from experience. And can we not say, those of us that have known it from experience, if God is able to save us, as he has, there's none of you here tonight who are too bad for him to save. He saves unbelievers. He saves hard-hearted wretches. He saves sinners who have run the score to lengths extreme. And this is the repentance. You see, Paul, Saul as he was known, he verily thought he ought to do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. He thought Jesus of Nazareth was a heretic. And my dear friend, all the while, you and I are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That third chapter to the Philippians, Paul says, oh, if anyone had cause to trust in the flesh, I more. Why was it he was doing things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth? He was ignorant of him. And when God stopped him on the road to Damascus, he didn't know what happened to him. But he knew it was God. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now Paul is no longer ignorant. And so he stops persecuting Jesus of Nazareth. He repents of it. And how is his repentance expressed? It's no longer Saul. It's no longer Saul, his own master. Nor is it Gamaliel at whose feet he was brought up. It's Lord. Lord. There's a reality, my dear friend, in these things. Trembling before the Lord, but realizing that he is the Lord. The realizing that he is the man whom God hath ordained to be judge of quick and dead. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was repentance. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he was led blind into the city. And after 3 days, scales fell from his eyes. Ananias is sent to him, and Christ is revealed, and immediately he was found in the synagogues preaching Christ, that he is the Son of God. The thing really that lay upon my spirit and in meditation that led me to this text was this solemn truth: ignorance of the Lord. The Lord knows how many of us here this evening are in this condition, ignorant of the Lord. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We know about him. We all know about him. But that's not it. That's not enough. Again, that third chapter to the Philippians, that I may know him. Now you see, Paul knew him after the Lord had identified himself to him. And the Lord does this through the preaching of the gospel. There's a power in the word. It's not like you've heard sermons before. It's not like you've read the word of God before. Whence hath this man this learning? He speaketh as one having authority, and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. You know the Lord in as far as he has made himself known to you. You know the Lord in as far as he has spoken with power to your soul. And the effect of that speaking is repentance. Before, there was no love to Jesus Christ. It is the love of God, the grace of God, that leadeth to repentance. There's many a sinner who repents because of the love of Jesus Christ, who is wanting in their soul's feelings of the blessed assurance of his love to them. The spouse in the Song of Solomon, she says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." My dear friend, it's this person, it's this man. This man. Oh, did you ever see him in the way the hymn writers spoke of him? Spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. While Satan's fiery darts he bore and did resist to blood. What did your soul do when you heard of him like that? It went after him, didn't it? That's repentance. That name you've sung of just now. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. When that name is as ointment poured forth, what is the effect? Repentance. That is, you repent of trusting in yourself. You repent of calling upon God in your own name. You repent of asking God to save you because of something in yourself, and you ask Him to save you because of Jesus Christ, His dear Son. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh, what was it but that name that first softened your heart, child of God? In repentance there is a softening of the heart. Law and terrors do but harden, all the while they work alone. What was it brought Elijah out of that cave? Not the fire, not the wind, not the earthquake. After those three things. And the Lord does put those three things before. Sinai. That's where Elijah was, Mount Horeb. But what was it drew him out? The still small voice. And Elijah came forth and stood in the entering of the cave. The gospel, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, this precious truth, for law condemns sinners. What music in the ear of a sensible sinner when God declares he has ordained his Son as the judge. That one whom a sinner may plead with. That one whose blood a sinner may plead. That one whose clemency, whose compassion, whose pity, whose righteousness, whose finished work. That one God in my nature without sin. That one who has been tempted but has stood. That one that has been tempted, we don't only mean the devil with regard to those temptations in the wilderness, but he was a real man. And so all his life was a temptation. He was in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, but he was a shining light. He is the light. Oh, but the condescension to see the judge wearing our nature. And the Spirit leads the sensible sinner to see him, the one who died on Calvary's cross, is the one who sits on the throne of judgment. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, how that man was blessed with repentance. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now you see, this is the thing. This repentance. John speaks of our condition. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, how utterly unworldly this doctrine is. Who would have supposed that the God against whom these sinners have rebelled, the God who these sinners hated, the God whom these sinners rejected, the God whom these sinners want nothing to do with, should have taken those sins and laid them on his Son, including the sin of unbelief, including the sin of impenitence, including every sin. Who would have thought that the God who commands to repentance causes that repentance to flow from his Son? The God who commands to faith in him would cause that faith to come down to the sinner by the virtue, the sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus, by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now this is the point of repentance. Oh, what a blessed thing then repentance is. This is what makes repentance so blessed. The one unto whom the repentant sinner comes, the one before whom the repentant sinner falls. Ah, those sins which are so delicious to our poor fallen nature. When God gives faith in his Son, those sins are hated because they're against him, but they're not wanted. Oh, the sinner is plagued with them all his life, but they're not wanted. That sinner in his quickened soul can no longer live in sin. Through the Spirit of God in him, he's dead in his body, but alive in the Spirit. And how is this life evident? Why, it's in every gracious ministry of the Spirit, causing a poor sinner to look out of himself to Christ. He hath appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, this knowledge, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit testifying of him, and the sinner begins to know him. But especially as this one unto whom they call in prayer, unto whom they flee in their distress, unto whom the Spirit bids them look when he speaks to them, when he puts forth his influence. How shall these people appear before him when he is on his judgment seat? They shall be justified by him. They shall be arrayed in his white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. This repentance then is the seeking of that. And in the giving of it is the knowledge. That man whom the Lord restored his sight, but he had something better to do for him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Yes, sinner, on this August evening in 2016, this man speaketh to his people. His words are most sweet. Surely, when God teaches a sinner that there's a day of judgment coming when he will judge them by that man, they won't leave it till that day of judgment to to get the judgment of this man. God teaches a sinner, you may, you will if you ask for it, receive the judgment of this man now. And that is what is so important. If you get a word of his love, that's his judgment. If he tell you that he is yours and you are his, that's his judgment. If he tell you your sins are forgiven, that's his judgment. If he give you a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you, that's his judgment. If he puts forth his mighty power, revealing himself, not always in the giving of forgiveness are the words actually heard, thy sins are forgiven thee. But if the Father in Jesus' name send the Holy Spirit down to reveal Christ to you in your place, your sins are forgiven. The judgment. And again, thinking of Isaiah 42, for the poor sinner here tonight who is coming here tonight feeling to be a complete failure, and it's only those we preach the gospel to, the Father says of his Son, he shall not fail till he hath set judgment in the earth. Oh, when Jesus by the Holy Spirit comes down into a sinner's heart and softens it and speaks to them in such a way as faith is raised up in him and love is shed abroad in his heart, could he condemn that one when they appear before him? No. No. Now, there may be those here tonight and you say, well, I haven't got this yet. Tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. But remember, he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The soul that is found looking to Jesus is a repentant sinner. The soul that is found pleading the blood of Jesus is a repentant sinner. The soul that is hanging their whole hope upon him is a repentant sinner. Since God has vouched concerning his Son, by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the veil, anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God raised his Son from the dead. What is the assurance then in this? The assurance is that, firstly, the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice. If the Father had not been satisfied with the sacrifice, he could not have raised his Son. The satisfaction with the sacrifice. But what does it show? Oh, what a demonstration of the power of God to save sinners by his Son. Death could not hold him. And since he and his people died together, One in the tomb, one on the cross, one in the tomb, one when he rose. Ah, for that blessed view by faith of a risen Christ. Thy dead men shall live, he says. Together with my dead body shall he arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. He's given assurance in this. Why? When we die, when the believer dies, through this man, there is that hope. In hope of resurrection unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, who shall change half our body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself, in that he hath raised him from the dead. If Christ be not raised, you see, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. We are yet in our sins. This man, the Spirit causes the sinner to follow this man from the womb to the grave, and from the grave to the skies. And every step this man took, the believer follows them in, follows him in. This is the repentance. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. A poor sinner following him, creeping behind him as he obeys the law in every jot and tittle. Creeping behind him as he stands against the devil in the wilderness. Creeping behind him in the Gethsemane as he says, not my will but thine be done. Creeping behind him in Gabbatha, the judgment hall. As he stands silent, withholds that divine power that could have slain all those men in one moment, and submits himself to death, and creeps behind him as he, bearing his cross, goes to Calvary. And what is the believer doing? In creeping behind him, they're putting all their trust in him, and they see his body laid in the tomb, and their hope is still there. Perhaps there's one here tonight and your hope seems to be in the grave. But if it is a Christ-given hope, if your hope is in Christ, it will come out of the grave, because Christ came out of the grave. A poor sinner creeps behind the Lord in the grave when they feel to be so dead, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And because God hath raised him from the dead, and because God hath bidden this sinner put their trust in his Son. Oh, when God raised his Son, he raised everyone who puts their trust in him. There's the cross, the grave, the skies, because Christ is theirs. Mary, said the Lord Jesus. Mary. Rabboni, Master. Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. I close with a couplet of the hymn. This I do find, we two are so joined. This is the work of the Spirit. He can't be in heaven and leave me behind. Amen.
Collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us now close with hymn 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey sweetly sing, sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. 267.
you for thy word. Do bless it to us. May it remain. Forgive all that is amiss. May that be blotted out. Keep us each safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us. Amen.